to the Word this morning, I wanted to remind you, first, give you greetings from Pastor Mark. He just, it seemed like it would be too much for him to get out this morning. I've told some of you already, but what they did when they did the surgery on Monday, and the surgery was great, and I'm sure you've already heard that news. We're excited about that. He's doing real well. But the recovery time is a few more weeks. He's going to be in a soft cast. It's just like a wrap that they put around. They put a pin in his foot. And so at this point, if anything, if he were to bump it or hit it, or if I don't know if Mary Banks would get too excited and kick him or something, you know, I'm not saying that would happen. I'm not pointing any fingers yet. But if something like that were to happen, it might be dangerous. So he goes on the 29th, I believe, or the 28th. Yes, right. Okay, at the end of this month, he's going to have a hard cast put on. They put on a soft cast first to allow room for the swelling to go down from the surgery and the trauma of that. So he's doing real well. He's getting around. He's doing just fantastic, great spirits, excited, constantly telling me and encouraging me and, you know, keeping on. He said, you know, the Lord woke me up and said, we just got to continue to cover this church in prayer. And so he's always mindful of you. And I'm happy for that. I wouldn't have it any other way. So this morning, if you have your Bibles, will you turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. We're going to read a lot of that. And then after that, we're going to go to Romans 8 for just a moment. So I want to read a story to you from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5. And then we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Also, mark your calendars. Marque su calendarios. Did I do that right? Gracias, Irulina. On May the 2nd, el segundo de mayo, which should be a sábado, should be a Saturday. ¿Dos? Lo siento, gracias, profe. The professor always keeps me in line. Thank you. But on May 2nd, and you know, because I'm getting going in Spanish. All right, I'm working on it. I'm rusty for years. But on May 2nd, we're going to have a special another bilingual service where the preaching and the singing is going to be in Spanish and in English. We'll have translation, but we want you to come because it's going to be a powerful, impactful night. Porque hay poder en el nombre de Jesús. There is power in the name of Jesus. And so we are excited about what God is doing. And so make sure you mark your calendars for that. There'll be more information coming. There's a prophetess coming who moves in the gifts of the Spirit. And we are so excited for what's going to be happening on May 2nd. So make sure you mark your calendars. I'm guessing it's going to start at 7 because that's usually what we try to do to accommodate anybody who has to travel. So 2 Samuel chapter 5. This morning we're going to talk about the Lord of the Breakthrough. We started a little bit of background on Wednesday night, and we want to talk about that this morning. Verse number 1 says, then came the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Now, if you need a little bit of background before we get started this morning, you have to understand these people that were coming were the supporters of Saul. And the reason why they're showing up today to talk to David is because Saul is dead. Está murió. Se murió. Gracias. He's dead. So it's kind of interesting that suddenly they show up and they say, we are bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. Well, of course you are. Your leader's dead. So I just wanted you to see that. So it's kind of interesting. And you'll see why a little bit later. It says that David still didn't feel like the king because he's having people come to him with lip service. How many of you have had somebody come to you with lip service? Say, oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. I'm so glad to see you. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So David dealt with this. And that's the great thing about our the stories and the people and the characters that really lived, because they lived lives very similar to ours in so many ways. So anyway, go back to verse 1. Then they came and they said, "We are bone of thy bone and flesh of thy flesh. Also in times past when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel." So all the elders of Israel came to the king. Now they're calling him the king, King David, to Hebron. And David made a league with them. So he had to make an agreement with them. They didn't just name him king. He had to make some kind of an agreement with them. You understand what I'm talking about? How many things in your life have you had to make an agreement with? How many things in your life have you had to make concessions for? How many things are you going through today that you stop and you think, if only I would have thought just an extra minute about it, I might have made a different choice. And so we hear David, they're coming to him saying, "You're king, but what's in it for me?" I hear that. There's somebody, there are some folks here even now that you know that the things that are going on in your life are only coming to you. People are coming to you because they want something out of you. This is for you today. Listen. So the elders came. They made a league with him. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 40 years. One of the other things that we mentioned on Wednesday night was that David was anointed king when he was between 12 and 16. We don't know exactly how old he was. And now he's 30 when they anoint him king for real. I'm sorry, but I think the anointing that God gave him was a little bit more for real. But now these people are recognizing him. But he had to fight for a couple years. "Well, Pastor, I've been fighting for a week and I can't handle it anymore." I'm not making light. I'm not making fun. I'm simply saying, think of our perspective. This man fought for at least 12 to 15 years. The man that he served was out to get him. He had to hide. He had to run. He had to flee. Oh my, are you hearing me? And we're not happy because the people at work give us a funny look. "Oh, I put up with so much." See, we don't even have testimony service in the church anymore. Growing up, I love to hear the old saints stand up. "I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm on my way to heaven." And it's sweeter today than it ever was. We had to stop that because people would say, "Oh, I've been beat up all week long. I can't make it." So we had poor, pitiful youth. And the sad part is the Bible tells us that we are made overcomers by the word and by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we can't even have a testimony anymore for fear of what somebody might say. You get me off here. Get back here. So here he is after fighting for all these years. "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites and the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the lame and the blind, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking that David could not come in." Verse number 7 says, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, and the same is now called the city of David." Some of you in here under the sound of my voice today are having people come to you and saying, "There is no way you can do what you're going to do." I was thinking on my way here this morning, as we were driving down the hill, there's a family of geese that live in that pond. And here they are walking around. And I looked at my wife and I said, "Honey, it is a good day to be a duck this morning or to be a goose this morning." How many of you agree? Hey, oh, I wish. I'm tired of the rain. But what you don't understand is that there are some people inside your life, they are your personal weather forecasters who like to sit around in your life because they don't have anything better to do. And they're sitting up in that place looking at you in the face and saying, you know what, baby, you got so much going on. I'm sure that there are 6 more months of winter in your life. You have your own personal weather forecasters who are telling you what's going on in your own life, and you're listening to them. Hear me. Hear me. But I don't care what the weather is like on the outside. What I care about is I know that something powerful is going on the inside through God. Do you hear me? I know that there is something powerful going on. I'm telling you that the skies in your life are getting ready to clear up. The clouds are getting ready to part and the sun is beginning to shine. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Because the King of Glory is getting ready to break through in your life. That's what the Spirit of God is saying for this house right now. That the Spirit of breakthrough, that this is the season and the time of breakthrough. Who? The King of Glory is breaking through. Let's keep going. Verse number 9. And so David dwelt in the fort, and he called the city of David, and built around from Millo and inward. And David went on, and he grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. And verse 11 says, and Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David a house. She already started my time. I haven't started yet. I'm still reading the scripture. I'm still reading the scripture, Pastor Karen. You can't start my time yet. And David... I just noticed it. Sorry for that. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel and that he had exalted his kingdom. It wasn't until another king in another place, because he didn't even trust the people who had pledged him their allegiance. Oh, I'm talking to somebody this morning, because there are some folks in your life who have pledged you allegiance that you can't trust. It wasn't until another king sent people and built him a house that David began to say, it really has happened. Some of you are waiting for someone to come along and build you a house before you take possession of what God has given you. But I'm telling you, that's not how it works. You have to wake up in the morning and say, this is my life and I will live it. Hey. Woo. It wasn't until the king of Tyre sent the messengers with the cedar trees and the carpenters and the masons, and they built him a house, that David said, this is my house. I want to go on. Verse number 17 says, but when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, they all came up to seek him. Were they coming with good news? It says they all came up to seek him, and David inquired of the Lord. Hear this part. This part is so important. We can't preach the Lord of the breakthrough without this part. Hear me. And David inquired of the Lord, verse number 19, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said, go. Ooh. Go. For I will doubtless deliver them into your hand. And so David came to Baal-perazim. Parazim, however you want to say it. And David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon my enemies before me as the breach of waters. And therefore he called the name of that place Baal Parazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. Romans chapter 8. I want to start with verse number 31. And then we'll get into this. Very familiar passage of scripture. We quote it constantly. I want you to see how it fits in with the Lord of the breakthrough this morning. Verse number 31 of Romans chapter 8 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse number 36. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse number 37. Nay. Nay. We don't use that word much anymore. Not gonna do it. I'm waiting to see how many of you are old enough to get that. Okay. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to hear your word. But more importantly, we thank you that we're able to be in your presence, that we're able to gather together, that we're able to be your people. I pray that you'll pour the oil of the Holy Spirit upon us, upon our ears to hear, upon our hearts to receive. That God, you would anoint my mouth, my tongue, that they would not be my words, but they would be the words that you are saying to the church. Because I know that you have a desire to speak to your people. Bless us this morning. Let us receive. Let us be changed. Let us never be the same again. Not because we've been here, but because you have been here. In the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you thought that the night season or the winter season, you know, Ecclesiastes says that there are seasons of time. Is everybody, I want to make sure we're all on the same page as far as that goes. There are seasons of time that we are in. We go through cycles. How many of you feel like you're going through a cycle? I've been on this merry-go-round way too long, baby. I'm ready to get off. That's the way our lives are in some instances. We are cyclical, meaning we go around and things change. The Bible says, and it came to pass. I don't know about you, but I get happy when I read that part, because that means if I'm going through something bad, it's not here to last. I'm going through. It came to pass. Adios. Can you say that with me? Adios. That means I give it to God. To God. Goodbye. See you later. Adios. Came to pass. It's cyclical. We go through seasons of time. The thing that we have to do as Christians is to recognize, because how many of you know that there are times in your life where you don't recognize what season you were in until you're already waving goodbye? If it was a good season, that's not good, because you could have enjoyed it a little bit more. You could have been present. Wives, look at your husbands and say, I wish you were present. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear. You could have been present. We're cyclical. Things come to change. Things are moving in our lives. And you thought that that night season, you know, it's dark. That night season. You don't see any light. How many of you ever been there? Somebody who's depressed, somebody who is filled with anxiety, who's filled with frustration, they feel like they're in a dark place. That night season, that winter season, why are winter seasons so bad? Because everything's dead. It may not be that cold out, but you don't even have any flowers. Look around today. I just looked at our front yard and it's so beautiful. All the pretty colors are coming out. But we just came through a winter season where it looked like everything was dead. And some of us live our lives in night seasons and winter seasons. And we believe a lie that says that that night season and winter season is all you deserve. It's all you'll ever have. It's all you'll ever know. Come on, somebody's going to get this morning, I'm telling you. But God was not involved in that situation. That's what we believe. We believe that I go through the night and I become depressed and I become frustrated because God doesn't care about me anymore. But what I'm here to tell you this morning is that God was not only allowing that rainy season, that winter season, that night to prepare you for the breaking of day. Hear me. If we didn't have night, we would not appreciate the sun. If we didn't have dreary days like this, we wouldn't be able to go outside and say, thank you, God, for some sunlight. Do you understand what I'm saying? The differences that we go through in our lives help us to appreciate what we have. How many of you have a teenager who is not appreciative of anything? How many of you know somebody? You know what I'm talking about? That. I just cooked you a 4-course meal. That again. You understand what I'm talking about? And so here we are. If God did not allow these things to come into our life, He doesn't always send them to us. But if He didn't allow them to come into our life, we would not appreciate what we have. And we would not appreciate Him being able to move in our life. I spoke to you from this pulpit several weeks ago, and I talked to you about the fact that the only way that you know God is based on your experiences with Him. The only way you know who God is who He is to you. God is an awesome and powerful figure. And He's so vast in His personal relationship to mankind that for millennia, man has attempted to identify who God is based on our own personal knowledge, our own encounters. You can talk to 10 different people and have 10 different expressions of who God is. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means that He identifies Himself to us personally because He is a personal God. And I can't understand who God is for you because I haven't lived your life. You can't understand who God is to me because you haven't lived my life. And so that's the way God works. He identifies Himself with us personally. It becomes based on what I need at that moment. If I need healing in my body and He healed me, then He becomes Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. If I need finances, if I need food, if I need shelter, if I need something in my life, He becomes Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. And so that's how I know God. Based on what I need, based on who I am, based on who He reveals Himself to be to me. You know, I didn't know that my wife could cook meatloaf. I know some of you think, meatloaf? Oh, you don't understand. I like meatloaf. I am thankful for meatloaf. Can we have a moment of silence? Hallelujah. I didn't know that she could make meatloaf that way because until she made it. In that day that I first took a bite of this miraculous manna from heaven, I said, oh my, my wife is great and awesome. She is the meatloaf maker. You understand what I'm talking about? But I didn't know her that way until, you know, when some of you think of Miss Grace, the first thing that does not come to your mind is Brother Bob's wife. We're still working on that. But anyway, that's not, some of you, the first thing you think of is, oh my, coconut cake. Orangesicle cake. Some of you think powerful woman of God because when she prays, the heavens open. You understand what I'm talking about? But you don't know her like that until you experience her like that. Some of you are thinking about other people in your mind. You think about Brother Anthony, great singer, my Lord. He moves in the presence of God. But if he did not open his mouth and identify himself to you that he could sing like that, you would never know what's on the inside of him. And so it is the way we are with God. We must allow God to move on us for us to know who he is. Here's some of these things. I love this. I did not create this. I tweaked it a little bit, but this is not my creation. I cannot take credit for it. But in Genesis, God is the beginning of all things. He is the divine creator. In Exodus, He is our Passover lamb. In Leviticus, He is our great high priest. In Numbers, He is our cloud by day and our pillar of fire by night. By the way, I need to let you know that if you feel a witness with anything, feel free to say amen. I'm preaching this morning. Deuteronomy, He is our great prophet. In Joshua, He is our captain of hosts. He is our salvation. He is our shout of triumph. In Judges, He is our great judge and our lawgiver. In Ruth, He reveals Himself as our kinsman redeemer. Do you hear me? In 1 and 2 Samuel, He is the ark of God's presence and God's power. In 1 and 2 Kings, He's the builder of a temple that will never fall. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, He is the one who fights our battles for us. In Ezra, He is the one who leads us out of our captivity. Oh my God! He leads us out of our captivity. In Nehemiah, He is the builder of broken walls. Oh my God. In Esther, He is our defender against all the forces that oppose us. In Job, He is our redeemer who lives. In Psalms, He is the good shepherd and He is our song. In Proverbs, He is our wisdom and our strong and mighty tower that we run into and are safe. In Isaiah, His name is Wonderful Counselor. His name is Mighty God. His name is Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, He revealed Himself as the Balm of Gilead. In Lamentations, He is our Weeping Prophet. In Ezekiel, He is the glory of the Lord and He is that wheel. He is that wheel. He is that wheel within the wheel. Do you hear me? In Daniel, He's the fourth man in the fiery furnace. And He is the protector in the den of lions. Some of you need to hear that today. He's the fourth man. Some of you need a fourth man. Some of you need somebody to stand with you because you feel like you're going through that fiery furnace. And He is there for you. Oh my God. Oh my God. In Hosea, He is our faithful husband. In Joel, He is our Holy Ghost baptizer. In Amos, He is our burden bearer. In Obadiah, He is mighty to save. In Jonah, He is the unfailing missionary. In Micah, He is the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, He is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, He is God's evangelist. In Zephaniah, He is our mighty savior. In Haggai, He is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zephaniah, He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings over all the earth. In Malachi, He is the Son of Righteousness with healing in His wings. New Testament. In Matthew, He is our Messiah. In Mark, He is our wonder worker. In Luke, He is the anointed preacher, healer, and deliverer. In John, He is the Word made flesh. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. In Acts, He was the foundation of the church. In Romans, He became our justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, He became our sanctifier. In Galatians, He became the redeemer from the curse of the law. Do you know that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law? Do you understand that? You don't have to be cursed any longer. It is your desire to walk through a curse, then do it. But we have been redeemed. Oh my God. We have been bought with a price. In Ephesians, He is the Christ with unsearchable riches. In Philippians, He is the God who supplies all of my needs. In Colossians, He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, He is our soon returning King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, He is our mediator between God and man. In Titus, He is our faithful pastor. In Philemon, He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews, He is the faith, for He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James, He is the great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, He is the chief shepherd. In the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, He is love. In Jude, He is the Lord coming with 10,000 of His saints. In Revelation, He is the Lamb in the midst of the throne. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He is Jesus. Go give Him praise. Go ahead. Take just a moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for how You've revealed Yourself to us. So this brings us to our passage of Scripture this morning. As we're reading, I want to talk about the Lord of the Breakthrough. And as we've read this passage of Scripture, we've broken it down a little bit as we've gone. But notice that David asked God. See, I contend, can I be really honest with you about some things? Well, thank you, Brother Rick. I'll be honest with you and I'll lie to everybody else. My contention, my belief, my philosophy is that there are times where we get into issues and situations that have come about in our life because we fail to do one important thing. In many times, we don't even think about it. We just go on with our lives. You know, one thing that the Pastor Mark and Pastor Karen taught me from the time even before Jennifer and I got married was that if you don't agree on something together, don't do it. Whether it be a car, whether it be a bottle of soap, you know, it doesn't matter. What you say, Pastor, that sounds silly, but what you don't understand is that there's a supernatural process that takes place wherever two or three. Oh. Why you want to bring that into it now? Where two or three are gathered together in My name, whatever they ask, there's something powerful. Moses even said one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. You understand what I'm saying? There's something powerful in the power of agreement. And so why are we deciding things of eternal value without talking to God first? First, well, it was just too good of a deal to pass up. I can't let my dad go to an auction if he has cash in his pocket. It just can't happen because all I hear is it was too good of a deal. I'm picking on him this morning. I'll have to pay for that later. But you know, some of us live our lives like that. It's just too good of a deal. I got to jump on it. It won't be here tomorrow. They made it look so appealing. I just had to. When in reality, look at what David did before he went up to fight them. He had 30,000 men with him. But before he made a move, he got down on his knees and he said, God, what do You say? The problem that we're running into today, and I'm going to address and I understand, is that some of you are in situations that you're in because you haven't done that. So here's my question to you. You knew it was coming. I haven't asked the question yet this morning. You knew it was coming. Here's my question to you. Does the Lord of the Breakthrough cover situations of my own making? Does the Lord of the Breakthrough break through when it was my own fault? Or will He only put His stamp of approval on the things that I have already had approved beforehand? You know what I'm talking about. We have people living in our rental property. Up in Ohio, the house that we used to live in, and we have to put everything, Brother Terry and I were talking about this yesterday, we have to put everything in there for any contingency about what might happen. Because legally, if we don't account for it, we're going to be responsible for it in the end. So if I don't have in my contract with the Lord Jesus Christ that I've asked His approval before I made a move, will He still come? And some of you believe that he won't. Some of you have already made up in your mind that this is your own situation. In fact, not only have you made it up in your mind, but you've been told by your family and your friends, you got yourself into it, you can get yourself out. And hear me, I understand that logic. I don't have a problem with that, because I believe we need to make good decisions, and we can't continue to look for God to bail us out. But at the same time, he's the Lord of the breakthrough. Let's go just a little bit farther. Notice that a breakthrough is not a miracle like a healing or a supernatural provision. I want you to hear that this morning. Don't look at the concept of breakthrough as being some kind of miracle that takes place. That's not exactly true. I'm not talking about arms and limbs growing back. Hear me. The dictionary says the definition of a breakthrough is a military movement or advance. Hear these words. This is not even spiritual. This is just natural. A breakthrough is a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's front line defense. A breakthrough is not a pinprick. See, in the church, we have got to change this mentality of fast food. This is not McDonald's. This is not Burger King. This is not, God is not the Lord of the Whopper. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't have time for much else. Hear me. If it makes eternal consequences for your life, I think you can make some time. If it causes you to walk in freedom, I think you can make some time. If it causes you to be an overcomer, if it causes you to be better than you were yesterday, if it causes you to come out of your situation never to return, if it causes you to be delivered, I think you can make a little bit of time. I think that's not asking too much. And so we have got to get out of the mentality that all I need is just a little touch. I just need a little touch. I just need you to agree with me. Make me feel better. I'm tired of making people feel better. Don't get me wrong. That's part of my calling as pastor. I bring the balm of Gilead. I soothe. I massage. I allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. That's who I am. Hear me. But I am not all about just making you feel better. I'm about making you an overcomer. I'm about providing an avenue for a breakthrough to take place right here, right now, today. And we can't have a breakthrough if the only thing we know is, oh, poor Susie. Let's pet her. Do you hear me? A breakthrough is a movement or an advance all the way through the enemy's front line. All the way through. All the way through. All the way through. I feel the witness of the Spirit to say that again. All the way through. We used to have this mentality, and I know. I grew up in the old timey way. I know that. I grew up old time. I know that. But can I tell you that there's something to be said for kneeling at an altar and refusing? Hear me. And refusing to get up until you know that God has done what he said he would do. There's something powerful in the fact of knowing that I'm going to hold on to the horns of the altar. And if it doesn't manifest my breakthrough today, I'll be here tomorrow and the next day and the day after and the day after, because you cannot outlast me, baby. I was made to last. Woo. Oh my God. Somebody's getting something in here. It's all the way through. It's all the way through. Not just something to make you feel better. It's all the way through. A breakthrough is not like turning water into wine. A breakthrough is not like feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. A breakthrough is a little bit different. A breakthrough can sneak up on you. I like those kind. A breakthrough can sneak up on you. A breakthrough can happen when you least expect it. I'm hearing you. Some of you walked in this room, this sanctuary, this holy tabernacle this morning, not understanding that something was going to happen. Not understanding that something had been set up from on high. Not understanding that your steps have been ordered. Not understanding that you're in the right place at the right time for the right reason. Not understanding that thing that you have been facing is about to explode. I'm sorry, did you want to save something? Did you want to have some memories? Did you want to keep some of it for a later date? I don't know about you, but when I'm facing that wall and I'm stuck and I'm right at the end of where I can go, I don't care how many pieces, blow it to smithereens. It is not time to keep souvenirs. It's not time to hang on to mementos. It is time to move through and keep going. Oh my God. And that's what some of us need today. We need a breakthrough. So I asked you on Wednesday night, those of you who are able to be here on Wednesday night, I asked you to consider what is a breakthrough and consider what avenues in your life you need a breakthrough in. Breakthrough deals with an issue that I have met head on. I don't need a breakthrough for something that is way in the future. I don't need a breakthrough for something that's behind me. I need a breakthrough for something that is in my face. I need a breakthrough for something that has stopped me dead in my tracks. I need a breakthrough for something that will not allow me to move on. How many of you have an issue in your life or things in your life where you're at a standstill? How many of you had things that you face today, yesterday, tomorrow, from time to time, that are meeting you right there? A breakthrough also isn't for something that you don't know about. A breakthrough is for something where God has already said, this is what's going to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Notice that when David asked him, God said, yes, go up and you will conquer all. And some of us have dreams and desires in our heart. Some of us have callings on our life that still exist, that are still in place. But for some reason, hear me, but for some reason, there's something ugly and nasty staring me in the face saying, you ain't going to go any farther. Hear me. But I have the word from God. I've already heard what God said. Pastor agrees with me. My wife agrees with me. My husband agrees with me. My parents agree with me. I know that it is God's will for me. I have no doubt in my life that this is what I'm supposed to have. But for some reason, something or other has got in the way. And you can pretend like you don't know what it is, but you know what it is. And something has gotten in your way, and something has stood there, and something has said, you won't go another step. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. I'm sensing what God is doing. Sensing what God is doing. Go ahead. Let's start. I hear it. Something's moving. Do you hear it? Do you feel it? Something's moving. Something's changing. Hear that. And so the breakthrough is right there, and it's keeping you from something that you know is your destiny. Something you know is where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do. But you can't seem to go any farther. It is at that moment. It is in that situation that a breakthrough is proper. I don't need water turned into wine, baby. I don't need more food. That's not what I need. I need this thing to be out of my way. So here, the example that David uses. The illustration is new and unique. Do you know that only telling this story, it's the only time that the Lord of the breakthrough is used. It's told in 2 Samuel and it's told in 1 Chronicles. But this is the only instance, this moment when David is being attacked and when he is going forward to do what God said he was supposed to do. Only at that moment is the Lord of the breakthrough used. Did you know that? Don't use it in Genesis, Exodus, none of the other chapters, none of the other books. This is unique to this situation. The Lord of the breakthrough is not what you had yesterday. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need God to be the Lord of the breakthrough about what he said. And here, this is what David said. He draws a parallel of God's action in this situation. He says, the Lord who burst through. If you were to use, again, some common language like we use today, it's the word I used before, explode. The God who explodes on the scene. Hear me? Explodes. You mean to tell me that you don't need an explosion? Well, that sounds a little too drastic there, Pastor. Can't we just use a chisel and keep at it? We've been doing this for 30 years. Let's just keep doing. You know, we're industrious. We are going to make it happen. It may not come like as fast as we want, but it'll come. No, I need something to shake. I need something to move. I need something to get up out of my way. I'm sorry if you have patience for it. Then just stay there for a little while longer. But I don't have any more patience. I don't have any more time to expend. See, some of you are looking on the other side who you don't even understand. You don't have that many days left. Oh, I know you got years to go, but do you have time to waste? Do you have years to waste? Do your children have years for you to waste? Does your husband or your wife have years for you to waste? Oh my God. Then why wait? Why do you want to wait? Why do you want to stand and say, oh, maybe. I want the Lord of the breakthrough to come with all the TNT that he's got, baby. And I want that thing blown to hell. Excuse me, I'm serious. I want it to go back where it came from. Because the issues and the situations in your life have come to you. None other but the devil himself. And he is living and manifesting right there. Send it back where it came from. I don't have any time. I don't have any desire to put up with it even one more moment. I need the Lord of the breakthrough. This is what I'm hearing. Ooh. David used the illustration that like a river or a stream that has powerful force behind it is what broke through. He said when he named the place Baal-perazim, which means the Lord of the breakthrough, the God who explodes, the one who penetrates, the one who takes care of it. He said it's like the water breaking forth. And I began to think about this, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, do you think it is for no reason that Jesus said, out of your bellies, out of your innermost being, out of who I have destined and created you to be shall flow rivers of living water. You've heard that scripture before, haven't you? Out of you, out of your man, out of your spirit man, out of your being that was created before time began, because he knew you even before you were in your mother's womb. From that spirit man, he says, I will break forth with waters that you cannot contain. A well that's deeper than yourself. Water that gives life that you can never understand or ever be quenched. But a water that flows from the rivers and the throne of God. Do you hear me? I need the Lord of the breakthrough. Oh my God. Woo! Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feel like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like, come on, sing that with me. Something, if you believe it, stand on your feet this morning and begin to declare, something's moving, something's moving, something's changing. I want you to sing it with power. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Come on. Something's moving. This morning. This is what I hear. This is what I hear. Now, we've been around long enough. I believe you trust us. I believe you know, and I'm not coercing you. Hear me. Hear me. This is what I heard in the Spirit this morning. Given it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will I cause men to give into your bosoms? Will I cause them to give to you not only money, but what money cannot buy? He said, if you bring your offerings in the storehouse, I will open up my windows of heaven. I will pour out a blessing upon you that you cannot contain. Hear me. We're going to receive an offering in a different way this morning. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. So I want you to prepare. I want you to ask God what you have to give, because you're going to seed for your breakthrough. I'm not saying that if you give, He'll break through. I'm saying this is the anointed time. This is the time that God said, this is the moment. And I want you to prepare your offerings. I want you to give in this anointing. Do you sense the Holy Spirit this morning? Do you sense Him speaking to you? This is the atmosphere in which we give. This is the atmosphere in which we sow, because our seed is not given to the church. Our seed is sown into the kingdom of heaven. So I want you to prepare your gifts. I want you to prepare your tithes and your offerings. If you don't have something to give, look at your neighbor and ask them to give you a dollar. Give you something, because you need to seed at this moment, in this time, in this soil, in this atmosphere, because this is the Lord of the breakthrough getting ready to do it. Do you hear me? Come on, come on, come on. Something's moving. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. Come on. See His glory. Feels like this is the moment. Prepare to give. Something's moving. Yes. Come on. If you have, if you hear the Holy Spirit, if you already came with your check right now, just hear Him and ask Him what He is asking you to do this morning. Are you giving for a relative? Are you giving for a friend? If you need an envelope, raise your hand. The porters have them for you. Do you hear me? Something's happening. There is a breakthrough. Oh my God. Do you sense it? If you don't sense it, then don't do it. But I'm just telling you, something's happening. Something's moving. Something's changed. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changed. See His glory. like it. Come on, something's moving. Something's moving. Something's moving and changing in my life. And I declare, I declare the heavens is coming to meet my earth. And the Lord of the breakthrough is about to explode on the sea. Huh? Yes. If you don't have any cash or a check, you can give online. You can go to the website and give. But this is the moment. This is the moment. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like something's moving. Yes.
Something's changing.
Yes. You sing this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and He's calling me to the heavenlies. Sing that again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and He's causing me heavenlies. Be seated. Be seated in heavenly places. Just like heaven. Just like heaven on earth. To be walking in His favor and graces. Just like heaven. Be seated. Just like heaven on earth, to be walking in His favor and graces. Just like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. See His glory, feels like heaven on earth. Come on, last time.
Something's changing, see His glory, feels like heaven on earth.
Okay, all right. So this is what I want this morning. This is what I want this morning. Again, this is what I hear the Spirit saying. Let's take an act of faith. Let's couple it with the Word. How many of you received the Word this morning? How many of you believe that this Word might just be for you? You'll go home and think about it a little bit and see if it is, but it just might be for you. Then let's couple it with our faith. I'm going to ask you to do something a little unusual. I'm going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to ask you to lay your offerings on the altar. Your tithes, your offerings, I want you to lay them on the altar. We're going to give them to God. We're not going to give them to a porter. We're not going to put them in a basket. Nothing wrong with that. But this is what I hear the Spirit saying. We're going to lay them on the altar. We're going to give them directly to God. And then when you're finished, I want you to stay up here. Okay, if you feel like this was for you, if you don't, then just go back to your seat. But if you feel like this was for you, I want us to stay up here. I want us to worship for just a little bit longer because I want us to pray together. Because when heaven meets earth, when God's super touches my natural, I can't handle it. It's that place of explosion. It's that place of transformation. Do you hear me? When heaven touches earth, it's not always pretty. But something has changed. Something has shifted. Something is different. And that's what we're going to believe today. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Sing it one more time and then I'm going to ask you to come. Go ahead. Something that's all right. Go ahead, come on. Something's changing. Feels like glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Come on.
Something's
come on.
Changing.
Come on.
See His glory.
Can we move this?
Like heaven on earth.
Something's moving. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Come on, lay it on the altar. Something's moving, something's changing. See His glory. Come on, sing it. Sing out if you need a breakthrough this morning. Something's changing. See His glory. Come on, sing. This is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. Your breakthrough isn't going to come in me laying hands on you or the elders laying hands on you. Your breakthrough is going to come when you start partnering with somebody else. Your breakthrough is going to come when you start giving to somebody else. That's what I hear in the Spirit. If you need a breakthrough this morning, I want you to find somebody else that needs a breakthrough, and I want you to lay hands on them. Pastor, I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to pray for anybody else. I'm telling you this morning, that's what the Spirit of the Lord said. You are qualified. If you have been saved, sanctified, if you are a child of the King, then you are qualified to lay hands on somebody else and to bless them. And I hear the Lord saying that when you do that, something is going to shift in your life because you're too preoccupied on your own situation. You need the anointing of somebody else to lay hands on you. You need something to happen. And you need to give to someone else as well. So when I count to three, I want you to find somebody to lay hands on. You better make sure they're okay with it. But I want you to find somebody not related to you to lay hands on. And I want you to pray for them with the fervor of God. I want you to pray for them like it is your last prayer. I want you to believe for them like there's nothing else, like their life depends on your prayer. Because, baby, I'm telling you, some lives do. Okay? One. Woo! Come on. Stir up your faith. Begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to believe right now, Father, we decree that something is changing because we can't live like it was yesterday or tomorrow. Something's happening. And we have put our seed on the altar and we are offering it to you, God. And we're saying, bless it and break it, multiply it to meet the need. Woo! Come on, begin to stir up your faith. Two. Give somebody in your sights. Is there somebody that God is laying on your heart? Don't forget, I have three people up here who need somebody to pray with them. Don't forget, the yoke breakers in this house need somebody to agree with them too. Hey, we declare that this day is different. We declare a shifting and a turn. We declare a yoke-breaking anointing. We declare that the Lord of the breakthrough shall break through. Two and a half. Come on, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready to stir up what's inside of you. Get ready to stir up your gifts. Three. Go to somebody now. Go to somebody quickly. Lay hands on them. Quickly. Somebody you don't know. Somebody you're not related to. Go on, lay hands on them. Yeah! Come on. You don't have to stop. You don't understand. There's an atmosphere here. There's an atmosphere here. You see what my wife is doing? Elders, you should be doing the same thing. Others of you should be doing the same thing. You need to be going to people. You need to be setting them free, because the breaking anointing is here. The breakthrough anointing is here. Do you hear me? You just have to believe that it's in your hand. You just have to believe that it's in your hand. You just have to believe that it's in your hand. You have the ability to set men free. Hey, Edible, I'm telling you, something is happening. Something is shifting. If Pastor Mark has called you an elder in this house, you find somebody to lay hands on. You find somebody to pray for. You don't understand. You don't get it. The Lord and the breakthrough. Come on. Yes, something's moving. Come on. Come on.
See His
glory. Don't stand there any longer.
Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Hey. Something's changed. See His glory.
Yes.
Feels like heaven on
earth. Something's happening.
Something's
go ahead.
Moving. Something's changed.
Hey.
See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Oh, oh.
I heard God say that His hand is growing over you. And I don't even understand what that means. But this is what I hear. That His hand He's always had His hand of prosperity on your life. Whether you knew it or not, whether you saw it or not, it was going on. And I saw His hand just begin to expand. And I see His hand because of what you have done and the commitment that you've made and the things that are going on in your life. I hear God saying that He's expanding it over your family. This is your wife, right? I think I only met you once, but it's very nice to meet you. I'm Matt. How are you? Nice to see you. A little awkward. But I hear the Lord saying that His hand is expanding. I've never heard that in the Spirit before. He says that His hand is expanding over you to encompass because your territory is enlarging. Because who you are, your metron, you know what a metron is? Pastors preached about that. Your metron is your calling. Your metron is the gift in the that you walk in. It's who you are. Your metron is expanding. Other people may have tried to keep you down or keep you back or keep you here or keep you there. But I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that you're His child and He gets to determine your destiny. And because you're His child, He gets to provide for you. No stepbrothers or stepparents or anything like that, but God. And so I hear the Lord saying that your metron is expanding. That who you are as a man of God is expanding. And that He's giving you more responsibility. And He's causing something else to happen inside you, some changes. So, do you accept that this morning?
Yes, I do.
Is that okay? There's anointing on you. I hear the Lord saying, do you work with children? Yeah. You don't. Do you like children? Hey, that's a fair question. I've met some folks. I hear, and listen, I can only tell you what I'm hearing the Lord say. And do you have something? Okay. The only thing, this is my wife, Jennifer, by the way. Jennifer, this is Heidi. I don't know if you've met. We just met. I think we met once before, but it's awkward, so we're doing it right now. So, I hear the Lord saying, and again, you have to, if this is in line with what you're feeling, you go with it. I'm not your pastor. I don't know you. I can only hear what the Lord says, and I hear Him saying that He has given children into your hand, that put out both of your hands like this and turn them up, that your hands are filled with the lives. Ooh. With the lives of people that He has given to you. You have influence over people that you didn't even understand. And the things that you went through even as a child, have prepared you to love them, prepared you to give of your heart to them. Is it? You're shaking your head. Yes. So I assume that this is right on. Okay. Is this right? Okay. All right. Father, I just pray that that growth would take place in her life, and that Father, you will cause her to realize and to see and to experience. Do you mind if I lay my hands on you? I feel like something's going to happen when I lay hands on you. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm saying I feel something happening inside you. Something even is breaking. You've had some issues that have kept you down, and something that when I put my hand on you, that's going to break. Something's going to fall off. Something's going to happen. Will you stretch your hands this way? You need, please be involved. Please stretch your hands this way. Thank you. Do you want a microphone? Okay. Come on. Something's moving. She's going to minister to her for a minute. Feels like heaven on softly. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Is there something changing in this atmosphere today? Feel like heaven on earth. Something's moving. Have y'all ever met my wife? Have y'all ever met Pastor Jennifer? I'm just telling you, you haven't. And the things that have tried to kill her. You understand, in December she was told she had cancer. You know that, right? And the things that have tried to destroy her are for this reason. Will you agree?
Yes.
This is Jennifer. This is the woman I married. She's not somebody sitting up there running a video program.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. What? Yes. We thank you. Come on. Come on and believe. Come on. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Something's breaking. Something's happening. Something's changing. The course of your life is changing forever this moment. I'm going to hold your arm up. Right now in Jesus' name. And we break the chain of the enemy that has been there for all these years. I see 2 decades of chains. We break that off of you right now in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Release, release, freedom, freedom right now in Jesus' name. It's okay. Embrace it. Embrace it. Go ahead. You want to dance? Dance. Go ahead. There ain't nothing wrong with it. You need to let it out. Release it right now in Jesus. Come on. Yes. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Woo! She is glory. Heaven on earth. Something's moving. Something's changing. She is glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving.
Something's changing. She is glory. Feels like heaven on earth.
That's your song. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Something's tomorrow moving. Morning when you get up, that's your song. Something's changing. See His glory. If only you knew what I thought about you. Oh my God. My sister and I. Something's moving. Something's changing. See His glory. Feels like heaven on earth. Father, we offer these gifts to you this morning. We offer these tithes and these offerings as seed for what you have spoken to your people, that you are the Lord of the breakthrough. And God, we do not have to put up with what we have put up with for so long, because it is your desire that we prosper and be in health even as our soul prospers. Your desire is that we are more than overcomers. Your desire is that we just don't have pinpricks of success, but your desire is that we burst through all the way through the enemy's line, all the way on the other side. And so for every night season, I say your night has come to an end. If that's you, you need to give him some praise right now. For every winter season, for every winter season, for every winter season, no, for every winter season, I say your winter is over. Spring has come. If that's you, you need to give him praise for it. Come on.